This episode of the Griffey Boys is sponsored by Quick Feet. Quick Feet offers the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned for every pivot and turn when making plays. Simply slide one, two, or three Quick Feet inserts in your existing insoles, giving you more power and stability on ice. Whether you're competing at the highest level, skating as a hobby, or guiding others as a coach, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to quickfeet.com now to unlock a 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10 and skate into a new era of on-ice performance. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts.
Lane Hudson Day, Habs fans.
I like that.
Brand new episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Myself, Sammy, with my boys, Anxious Anthony, and my cousin, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen.
Happy Lane Hudson Day, gentlemen.
I think we should copyright that that name.
It's been all over Twitter all day.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, and we have somebody joining us out of the blue. Out of nowhere, out of thin air, it's the stats man, Joe Rock.
He came to say how much of a great game Mr. Gallagher played tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. A wonderful game. He shows up when it doesn't matter. he did have a good game, though.
I've mentioned this in the group chat ever since he served his suspension. His head is literally screwed on straight.
You know his what, Sammy? I definitely agree.
His head has been screwed on straight. I don't recall any more stupid penalties that he made a bit of a habit of at like the first half of the season after that suspension. And he's been scoring not on a consistent basis, but he's been putting the puck in the net a little bit more than what we saw.
He's at 15 goals now, right?
He's at 15 goals. A lot better than last season. So, but as much as I want to bust Joey's chops about Brendan Gallagher, today is obviously known as Lane Hudson Day. But before we get there, folks, just a reminder to all that this episode of the Curfew Boys is sponsored by Quick Feet, the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned every pivot and turn. Simply slide one of those, or two of those, or three of those Quick Feet insoles, and it's going to give you a lot more power and stability on the ice, like it has been doing for me. Quick Feet is involved with over 150 players in the NHL, like James Van Riemsdyk, number 70 goal scorer, or almost 70 goal scorer, Austin Matthews, ex Montreal Canadiens, Max Pacioretty. Jesus. I kind of forgot his name all of a sudden. But whether you're competing at the highest level or just for fun, or if you're a coach like Coach Anthony over here, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to quickfeet.com. That's Q-U-U-I-K feet. Q-U-U-I-K feet.com to get a 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10, all caps. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts. And I can tell you one thing, Lane Hudson looked like he was skating with some of those Quick Feet inserts, I swear to you. Let's get right into it, boys. Lane Hudson ended his NCAA career, I guess, over the weekend with the loss in the Frozen Four semifinals versus, I believe it was Denver. And, you know, there was... No, not rumors, but it was confirmed that Montreal Canadiens general manager Kent Hughes was in Minnesota watching the game. And so right away, Habs fans, Habs Nation all over were like, he's there to sign him in case he loses. And, you know, kind of forgetting that Kent Hughes' son, Jack, plays with Lane Hudson, or played with Lane Hudson, and Luke Tuck also, who also signed a 2-year entry-level deal. But, you know, we were all rooting for Lane Hudson and Boston University to win. It didn't work out. I watched the game. The ice was tilted in Boston University or BU's favor, but they just somehow just couldn't complete it. Couple of missed calls by the ref, bit of puck luck by Denver and momentum. And next thing you know, Denver wins in overtime, ending Lane Hudson's college days. And that opened the floodgates of the rumors and like all practically confirmed rumors that he was going to sign his entry-level deal, the obvious three-year entry-level deal, and burning the first year of the contract because he's going to be playing in the NHL. We were all hoping he was going to make his debut on Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada versus the Ottawa Senators, but it was a little too, I guess, short notice, for lack of a better term. You know what? Probably better off that way. You know, let him kind of like digest the feeling of losing the Frozen Four, like be with his teammates one last time. Let him play in the States, in Michigan, where I think he was born in Michigan. Yeah, he was born in Michigan or grew up in the Michigan, Illinois area. And why not put him in his very first NHL game against Detroit and his favorite player, Patrick Kane? Are any of us surprised by the way he looked tonight against the Detroit Red Wings in his Montreal Canadiens debut?
No, I certainly wasn't. I thought he was actually very lively, which is what we expect Lane Hudson to be. And I thought there'd be some defensive struggles, especially the first goal that Detroit scored. I thought he was part of the issue of why they scored, but he was also the reason why Montreal scored their first goal and he got the assist. And he was buzzing around, like Anthony mentioned in our chat, like we're getting scoring chance after scoring chance with him being there. So we saw the good of Lane Hudson and we saw probably the bad or the inexperience of him. So it's nothing, I would say, out of the ordinary. I'm just happy we saw the good out of him right away and he looked confident in his first game with the Canadians. And I don't find he looked out of place. Besides maybe over time, I would say there was a shift where Caulfield and Suzuki were playing like in the bottom of the triangle on defense where he was at the top. And I was like, that's not how it should be. But other than that, I thought he did pretty well for his first game.
Can you guys imagine if he would have scored that goal in overtime?
That's why I don't know if anybody wants to point fingers at him for the goal, but I wouldn't blame him. I mean, that was a good opportunity because if he would have scored that,
of course,
you can't blame him.
And
he
skated back fairly quickly to catch up on that. It was just inches away of stopping that puck, but he really, like, I don't know if you guys noticed how he skated back and how fast he was compared to others who try to come back that fast. I mean, you said it right, Joey. I mean, for a player who's first time in the NHL, being young as well, you saw a mix of like the inexperience, but also confidence. And that's rare to see for a young player in his first NHL game. Majority of the time watching him, I mean, I watched tonight's game just focusing on him. And majority of the game, it didn't look like it was his first NHL game. He looked like he's been playing for years.
He looked like he belonged.
He looked like 100%. He looked like he belonged. And if you think he's going to be starting Laval next year, no. He's making the team after what I saw tonight. And I know it's just one game.
I know.
But that confidence level and the way he played with the team, he's just starting off next year. That's my opinion. Chris, yes, I'm going
to
say.
His transition is superb. Sorry to – before Chris, I just want to say his transition is superb. The way he just moves his – he always moves his feet when the puck's around him. And the way he just gets from 0 to 100 quickly is phenomenal to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys haven't quite mentioned it, but I was waiting all night for one Montreal power play, just one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys said confidence. I'm going to say poise on the first goal. Like, I'm going to go back. I've already watched it at least 10 times. I'm probably going to go watch it another 10 times. Just the way that he scooped it up off the line, the way he skates. Look, I'm fresh off of a trip to Vancouver. I had the privilege to watch Quinn Hughes and the Vancouver Canucks from four rows from the ice, twice in the offensive zone. Just the way he skates, I think a lot of fans are going to be upset if I say Makar. Like, a lot of fans outside the Montreal area are going to be very frustrated with me comparing him to Makar. But I just want to say the agility and the way he can handle and pivot on a dime like Quinn Hughes. I think he's a little bit more comparable to Quinn Hughes, even size wise. But there was a, there was also another pass, like on top of the assist that he got on the Gallagher goal, which was just like, it was seamless. He picked it up. He walked around very confident with the puck. The same move, and not the same move, but another similar, very aggressive pivoting to lose and get by the defender, whoever's tracking him. And then he made a great pass to Jake Evans, who just completely missed the shot. That I was waiting all game for Montreal to have a power play, because that is exactly the pass that Mike Matheson cannot make. You go back to any one of the freaking 20 episodes that we talked about Lane Hudson being the power play quarterback. That's why Caulfield has not been scoring. There's no guy who can make that pass. And in his first NHL game, he comes in and being on his off, let's say on his offside, being a left-handed shooter, playing on the right side, making that cross-seam pass. I'm telling you, that guy's, I'm just dying. I'm going to the game tomorrow. Got some pretty damn good seats. Hopefully get some good content for the boys. But all that to say, that pass is going to be absolutely lethal. The way he can take the puck and control it on the back end and move around with it, absolutely lethal. And all I can say is just like, out of all the prospects that we have, you said, did he let you down? Was it as expected? Would you have doubted? Like, I think it was better than what I would have expected. And not that he's putting up thousands of points already and that he's going to be Hall of Fame and retire, like his number retired, but just the way he moves. We have not had a defenseman who could move like that while controlling the puck. I mean, like Victor Mete and guys like that used to maybe move a little bit like him, but had no puck control. I'm so excited. And I'll easily put my stamp over Ryan Backer, over any other prospect. He is our number one prospect. Much like Anthony says, I think he's got a spot on opening night next year. Is it the wisest thing to do? Perhaps not, but what a fucking player.
Chris, just not to interrupt, just your mic is a bit staticky. So
very staticky. Just maybe unplug and plug back in.
So, but yeah, it's. I think they purposely ran that play for Lane Hudson to be on the right side instead of the left on that face-off, just to see if he could get a cross-ice pass, and he was able to prove it. But I think my favorite thing about that Lane Hudson assist was he did the typical Lane Hudson shimmy move where like he looked like he was gonna, you know, look like he was gonna shoot like quick fake and bring back to his forehand shot.
Well, look.
Gallagher got the rebound, and it was actually a pretty that was a cool rebound to get from Gallagher's part as well. So we're gonna show the replay of Lane Hudson's assist and just his second shift to top it all off. I think that's the best part of it. Also,
that and just also the puck handling. Just look at this at the blue line, like how he just kept it in the zone. Just beautiful. Watch this.
Savard stops it at the blue line.
It's the shimmy right here.
The shimmy and the right transition. Exactly. And that's where Gallagher scores. He had another one similar to this too, where the first line with Slafkovský and Suzuki was buzzing around the net. He shot it at the net with a lot of traffic, and he could have gotten an assist, but it didn't go in.
But I think Caulfield got a tip on that one.
Yeah,
it just went wide, so... You know what? I think Lane Hudson just demonstrated who he is and what he's going to be. You know, I like the comparison of Quinn Hughes and maybe throwing Adam Fox. I mean, those guys are higher picks than Lane Hudson, and I think Lane Hudson's size maybe might have scared people off, and that's why he dropped down to the second round. He could be just as good as those two one day. I don't think he's going to be the next Cale Makar. I think that's a bit too far of a stretch. But I was also very happy that he was paired with David Savard. Like, you couldn't ask for a better veteran to be surrounded by to get guidance from. I thought it was just perfect, and it made sense too. Now, Chris earlier was talking about our defensive prospects. Lane Hutson went into the lineup. Jaden Struble gets out. Now, part of me was wondering this, and I don't think this is the case, but at the same time, too, everybody's fighting for their own spots, right? We know it's a team game, but at the end of the day, it's sort of a less vicious dog-eat-dog world. You got to compete to win a spot. And if you're Jaden Struble and if you're Jordan Harris and you're seeing this, the way Lane Hutson is playing in his first NHL game on the left side, I wonder if there's part of them that's thinking, shit, like we knew this kid was good, but he might be a threat to my spot. Like, how do you go about this with one game left in the season coming into the next season? And I know there's a lot of question marks regarding the left-handed defenseman position. There's speculations of trades. Everyone's wondering who's the odd man out. So it's actually a question. Now that Lane Hutson's here and he's here to stay, I think after one game, I might have to agree with Anthony that I don't see this kid struggling in training camp. You never know at the same time, but I personally don't. If he gets cut, he's going to be like, it's going to be the last cut, kind of like the way Matthias Norlander was the last cut this year. But with Lane Hutson in or potentially in, who's out?
I'd be more worried if I was Jordan Harris rather than Struble. I think they're giving Harris the games to see what he can do. To me, Struble being out is after having a good year. I think they already seen enough from him and they want to see more of Harris. And I would feel there's more danger sides towards that by playing Harris because they want to see more of him because I think they're disappointed of what they saw or it's just not enough, which is why they're giving him another chance. So right now, the way I saw it tonight, if you take out somebody, I think they've seen enough of him and they want to see more of somebody else that they're unsure of. And guys like Barron and Harris, for me, would be the next two that are out that have played this year in Montreal.
I think so. And he scored a nice goal, Barron. But yeah,
he did.
I think so. I think tomorrow, so. I mean, let's see what they decide tomorrow, who sits out tomorrow, because that will give you an idea of what they're trying to do. But not only that, it'll also be putting these players in for trade bait. I know it's only one game left, and there is an offseason coming along. And, I mean, we can't keep all these players. It is what it is. It's facts, and we have a lot of good depth coming up. You're going to have to get rid of some. And which ones are going to be the right ones or the wrong ones? We will know. We spoke about this last episode, Sam, where, like, as much as we know we have a lot of good talent coming up, you're going to have to get rid of some. And hopefully we get rid of the right one for the right pick back, because you don't want to have that same mistake where we get rid of a good talent and then they're playing amazing another team and who we got just is shit or whatever case, whatever it is. But
work out, yeah.
I think tomorrow, I mean, it's only one game left, so they can't really decide much after tomorrow's game. All I know is next year's training camp is going to be fun to watch.
Well, especially on defense. Like defense, you're going to be seeing guys like it's all the young ones, all the prospect. You're going to be seeing Hutson fighting. You're going to see Logan Mailloux fighting for it. You're going to see David Reinbacher fighting for it. Look, you know what? Caden Gooley, that even though he's injured, like him too, he's going to want to show that, listen, like, yeah, it's my third year in the league and I'm ready to take that experience and leadership to the next level. You're going to want Arber Jacka is going to want to do the same thing too. I think they honestly re-signed Justin Barron, but like him too, if he doesn't get traded by like, let's say the trade deadline or during the offseason, like him too, he's going to have to try to prove something. So there's going to be a lot of competition on defense, and it just got even more. Oh my God, how can I say this? Now that Lane Hutson is actually here, like it like shit's gonna hit the fan in a good way, but it's gonna be competitive. It's gonna be really competitive. The impressive thing too about tonight is that he actually played over 20 minutes. I was expecting him to have at least 50 to 18 minutes of ice time. Is that 21 minutes and 54 seconds? He was third amongst the defensemen. Matheson obviously leading at 25 minutes, like he's been doing all year. David Savard with 24 minutes, 19 seconds. And you had Lane Hudson at 21 minutes, 54. Justin Barron at 20 minutes, 36 seconds. So, hey, listen, he was out of the six defensemen, he was the third with the third most minutes and over 20 minutes on your first NHL game.
And he played overtime.
Yeah, that's true too.
they used him as if he was a regular. It's crazy. Like you said, I didn't expect to see those many minutes. He played majority of the game as if he was just one of the top six.
But you knew you knew he was going to be in overtime. I called it. I said Matheson, Barron, and Hudson. We didn't see him on the power play. So it's the and a player like him, give him open ice, and he's having a field day.
I was going to say that was the biggest disappointment is not getting a single power play to see what he would do.
That's crazy. But you know what? I think besides the Pesetta situation, I think the refs knew what was on the line, especially for the Detroit Red Wings.
Was a lot of calls missed, especially in overtime. That chip on Caulfield.
Yeah, but you know what?
But it was a playoff game tonight. There was a lot on the line, and they made them play.
As much as their missed calls, it's like I agree. It had that playoff vibe. It was beautiful, entertaining, back and forth. You know what? Sometimes, man, you put the whistles away. You make it fair for both sides.
Yes, but
it's fun hockey.
It was very fun. The last 3 minutes, I know Chris, you have something to say, but the last 3 minutes of the third period was just beautiful playoff hockey, and I was into it. And I know the Habs are not making the playoffs. We know they're out, but
oh my God, girlfriend was into it too. She was jumping. I don't know why. I don't know why she was rooting for Detroit in my face like that.
I mean, I like to see that fight at the end, especially tomorrow in Washington, Detroit, trying to make that spot. But, But the only disappointment, look, you're right. Let them play. Let them have fun. A lot on the line. I see that playoff type hockey. But if Montreal needed that point as well, those missed calls could have costed a lot of shit for both ends. You know,
But I think the refs go in there with a different mindset too, though. If it's one or the other,
they're prepping for playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. It. My God, but it's so tight. It's so fucking tight between Detroit, Washington, and now Pittsburgh. Like tomorrow, Philly is playing Washington. Like that's and it's Philly's final game. Actually, it's both. I think their final games.
Everybody's final game.
Detroit, their final game too. I think Washington takes that. I still think they do.
You think they take the final wild card spot?
They control their destiny. I think Philly have kind of stumbled towards the end. I think Washington, if they just need to win and they're in, and doesn't matter what happens with anybody else.
Yeah,
Philly. I think they take it.
Philly needed to win that game against us. And we gave them the fucking beating of a lifetime.
Yeah. So, we're fighting for our own right tomorrow. We need to lose to stay bottom five. So
we're staying between five and seven. We're not going
any lower. We're not going any higher. Five than seven. So
personally, I would rather five than seven. Obviously, for the obvious reason of getting the better chance at a better player. I just don't want the Ottawa Senators to pick above us. I don't want to fall under the Ottawa.
You gotta hope they win their last game.
I know. But right now, look, we're tied for sixth with bottom six with Arizona at 75 points. They have
the tiebreaker, right? So we're actually fifth.
We're fifth.
Yeah, because they have
They have more wins, exactly. Yeah. But it's
when. So a loss tomorrow seals it for us, and we stay bottom five like last year.
Yeah, and then Arizona, their final game is against the Oilers on Wednesday. So
yeah, so we need.
So
Sam, how about this? I'll make you a deal. Hudson has a great game with 3 points, a goal, and 2 assists, but they lose. Can we settle with that?
Deal.
Okay. Power play, assist, and a goal.
Joey, if he gets a single point at the Bell Center tomorrow, Chris is going to be the loudest guy in the building.
You can go through the fucking glass.
Is that a curfew boy on the ice?
Yeah, he Chris is gonna be the one running on the ice, and then the ref is gonna fucking clothesline him like what was it? Which game in the 90s? Was it in the 90s?
He'll try.
No, he'll get you. Full speed on the ice, you could be any size, man. You're getting knocked out. Or you could be like
skates versus shoes, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you're not going to jump. Okay. You're not going to get in the Bell Center with skates on. You can wear the Quick Feet soles all you want. You're not going to get in the Bell Center.
Maybe I'll get in. I'll go to Tricolore Sport or something. No, that's outside. I was just about to say there's got to be some sort of game used skates or something like that. Who knows? Who knows?
Dude, a lot of these linesmen are tall. Like, they're tall motherfuckers.
They are.
But yeah.
And myself?
Yeah, they're taller than you, actually. Some of these linesmen, they're 6'5". Oh, yeah. Some of these linesmen are freaking tall, man. Oh, yeah. Well, you need to be in order to stop these scrums there by these big NHL players. Just say,
I'm up for it.
Whatever you do, just stay in the stands. Just stay in the stands. Throw the fists in the air if you have to. Don't hit anybody. Just scream. Listen,
Mike Milbury style. Let's have the Detroit Red Wings climbing into the stands.
I think that Mike Milbury highlight has to be the funniest, like, hockey fight highlight I've ever seen in my life. Like, just go in the stands, take someone's shoe, and just throws it back at him. I personally find that funny. I find that something you see in, like, a Will Ferrell comedy, like, during the 2010s. Like, you know, Blades of Glory style. But anyways, we're getting off track. Let's get back on track here. I want to see Pittsburgh make the playoffs.
Okay, fair. I want Detroit, to be honest.
I like Detroit.
Me too. Look, I'm not going to lie. As much as the Habs, you know, they're my team, I just, again, it was just fun to watch Detroit play today. It was, they really fought. You know, they had a lot of big mistakes at the beginning, the first and second period, which costed them, you know, losing, Habs taking that lead. Mm-hmm. I think they were playing with a lot of pressure, Detroit, tonight.
Oh, of course.
Costed them to make these mistakes. But then at the end, they just turned it all around and they fought through and they came back. And that's something you want to see in the playoffs, right? So,
The first two periods, man, Detroit did not look like they were playing for their playoff lives, like, nope, at all. I don't know what the coach told them in the second intermission, but Jesus Christ, like, they came out flying. The Canadiens were on their heels the entire third period.
Yeah.
And how did you find you mentioned the third. How did you find Montreal did? We didn't say it much. How do you find they did in the first two periods? Do you think they were just opportunistic? Because I find they were there, but
yeah,
they weren't overly dominant. It was more Detroit.
I think so. I wanted more out of Slavkovsky, Caulfield, Suzuki, like always. I think the Evans Gallagher Armia line had a pretty decent game. I think Josh Anderson he played okay. He was better than what we've seen of him lately. Every game I want more out of Suzuki, Caulfield, Slavkovsky. I thought they played well against Ottawa on the weekend, especially Caulfield. He scored two goals. I thought Anthony was gonna win the prediction, the final predictions of Caulfield, the two goals, maybe a hattie somewhere, but it wasn't the case. Yeah, Joe, I tend to believe that. I think, like, even on Twitter, a lot of people on Twitter were saying, look, like it's the Habs are, they're taking advantage of these opportunities because Detroit is really shitting the bed these first two periods. But then I don't know who gave them what kind of prep talk in the second intermission of, I don't know if it was Dylan Larkin or the coach or somebody somewhere. And, you know, their best players came out to play, like the Brinkett's goal was just a tic-tac-toe setup play off that face-off. Was beautiful. And Lucas Raymond, I've said it from the beginning, the Detroit Red Wings had an excellent prospect in this kid, and
he showed up with two goals.
And he showed up with two huge goals. He's the hero, the overtime hero. You know, I mean, I love Dylan Larkin. I like Detroit. Actually, Joel, you know, you might make me change my mind, you bastard.
Well, we always seen Pittsburgh in playoffs, right? I know they didn't make it last year, and we always seen Crosby, Malkin. It's to see somebody different from the Washington and Pittsburgh franchise that makes it. And I really don't care for Philly. Quite frankly, I hate Philadelphia. So, yeah, I would certainly. Detroit's a hockey town. To me, it's the hockey town of US. So it's like us here. I like their players. I even like their jerseys. I've always been a fan of Kane. Lane Hudson loves Kane. So I think I would want them to make it. Yes, at expense of Montreal losing tomorrow, I certainly would want Detroit to make it.
Yes. I mean, the only reason why I would want to see Pittsburgh make it is only because of, you know, Crosby hitting 1,000 assists and he just has that mouth.
He's won so many cups, that guy.
I know, but you know, his career's coming to an end and you just want that final push. But look, I don't think Pittsburgh even has a chance. Detroit and Washington both have to lose tomorrow for Pittsburgh to make it. Both teams have to lose. So, I mean, it's not in their favor. Philly, forget it. They're not making it. Basically, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Washington need to lose, and Pittsburgh needs to win it. Even at that, I think the tiebreaker goes to
Washington. They control it.
I think Washington controls their destiny here. But to answer your question about how the Habs play tonight, I think you guys are both right. You said it, that they just took advantage of Detroit's mistakes. But when you say, Sam, that you're not happy with Caulfield and Suzuki or you want to see more out of them, I think they just removed their foot off the gas pedal.
I kind of got that feeling in the third period.
No, but I think overall in the last couple of games, even though Caulfield had a great game last game, I think the general consensus here is that they're just stepping away to prevent injury. Because if you notice, the last three games has been the third and fourth line who's been shining. Since that Philly win, all you've been seeing is Evans, Armia, Gallagher putting up points in the last four games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been it's 82 games and they've been so quiet. And now all you see is Gallagher, Armia, Evans. These guys are stepping up towards the end of the season. So I think just the first line is just stepping away a little bit just to prevent injury That's how I see it. Chris, I know you're nodding your head. You want to talk. Your mic's not working. I don't know what's going on, but say what you got to say.
Do you guys hear me better now?
Yes, yeah. A lot better.
Okay, no mic. I think you guys said a lot of what I had to say already. Like you guys were saying, I think the first line kind of turned it off. I think now this is a question of the Montreal Canadiens giving fans just, you know, something, a nice aftertaste before they go off into the off season, something to look forward to and keep us coming back, even though doesn't take much for us to be coming back. I think it's all a big show. You guys also spoke about teams and who's going to do what. I think Detroit's going to take it tomorrow. On top of taking it tomorrow, I think Philly's going to beat Washington. Philly's just one of those teams. They fucking upset. They upset teams, but then they don't do anything themselves. So I think Philly's going to be the team to upset Washington, and then Detroit's going to beat us, and automatically that puts them into the playoffs.
Wow.
Okay. I think you're going to have an original six matchup. You're going to have Detroit against the Rangers, which is going to be quite interesting. You're going to have Tampa going up against Boston. And funny enough, I think those two matchups can provide some pretty big upsets. I think they just match up in that way that we can have some upsets. So that's what I'm rooting for. And talking about opportunistic games, like this game tonight, nobody addressed it, but both Gallagher goals, like Lane Hudson made a great pass to get it to the front, but Gallagher took like 6-7 swats at it for it to go in. And then the second goal that he put in was just off Jake Evans' skate accidentally right in front, one-on-one in front of the goalie. So yeah, Montreal had no business being in this game, to be honest. It was just, I can't even say Detroit was shitty. I'd just say it was bad luck for Detroit that Montreal even got to four goals. But just look, all I can say is tomorrow, power play. That's the only one and only thing that I want to see. Put this Mike Matheson on the first wave to rest. And the one thing that I'm going to go out and say that we haven't necessarily said, nobody spoke about the upcoming, let's say, and rightfully so, but the entry-level draft. You guys were speaking about Harris and Barron. I think by the end of next by the end of next year, I'm confident in saying that you're going to have Gouley, Jack Eye, Hudson, and Mayu as your probably as your four youngest defensemen on the team. I think maybe Matheson is going to be there, maybe not.
Yeah,
no more Harris and no more Barron.
I don't want to jump too much onto like predictions for next season. I kind of want to save that for like our end of the year wrap up review episode. But because we didn't get to see Lane Hudson on the power play, like I'm still wondering where they had him slotted in. Did they have him slotted on the first one? But here's
fucking one defenseman.
Matheson's not getting off. Now here's my question: Is Matheson staying on with the four forwards, and do you put Lane Hudson on the second wave with Justin Barron on defense? And then you have who do you have out there? You could have Armia out there with Anderson and Newhook, maybe on your power play. You have Gallagher. Sorry, Newhook is on the first wave. That's true. So you could have either. Who's on the second wave? You have Armia. I think you have Gallagher. I think you have either Dvorak or Jake Evans there.
Are we talking tomorrow's game or are we talking?
Yeah. Or like it could have happened tonight, but we didn't get a power play. So I'm wondering, where do you slot Lane Hudson in?
No, I think first. Just again, for the fans' sake, tomorrow, if there's a power play, Lane Hudson is your number one, and like Mike Matheson is going to be your number two wave, guaranteed.
So the fact that he played overtime, I think he would have been on the first wave as well. I think they would have either paired Matheson with him, or they would have dropped but more likely they would have dropped Matheson as a second pairing and ran the same four forwards
boys
the line with Newhook and
Go Chris. What?
Just. I'm sorry to cut you off and sorry to say it like that, but breaking news. I've been saying fan experience.
I saw it. Amazing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Guess who's coming to play up in Montreal tomorrow?
We have a call up. We have a call up from Laval Rocket. Somebody from Laval is coming to the Montreal Canadiens. I'll give you a hint. It's on defense. Don't go look at your phone. Both of you, look at the camera.
It's gotta be Mayu.
Like Logan Mayu.
There we go. Mayu has been recalled up from the Laval Rocket. Is he gonna play tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Kovacevic
is out of the lineup. Hands down.
You know who I'm thinking? On the right side,
David Savard is playing.
No, not David Savard. Okay. I think Justin Barron.
Yeah.
Put Logan Mayu with Mike Matheson.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Barron as well. They won't.
You want to know why? Because I think after tomorrow's game, they send both Justin Barron and Logan Mayu down. Laval has two games left. And them too, they're fighting for their fucking playoff lives against.
I thought they're out now, Sam.
They're not. They're still in because they won and Belleville lost. Now Belleville Senators play on Wednesday. They have to lose, and if they lose, then Belleville will still be up by 2 points against Laval. The two final games of the season, they play against each other, back to back home games, or like
what home if and they're away, up home four? And away series. And who has the tiebreaker?
I unfortunately think I could search real quick, but I unfortunately think Belleville will have the tiebreaker. That's why they need to lose Wednesday. But my God, I had a feeling they would fucking call him. But I think somewhere during the season we called it. Maybe hopefully we see a Logan Mayu call up for the last game of the season. This is awesome. I think he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hudson and Mayu in the final game would be beautiful to see.
What
does that implicate with his contract?
What do you mean? What does that implicate?
Nothing. It's a two-way call. He's free to go up and down as much.
Does he have the same stipulation with Lane where he burns a year?
Of course not. He's a CHL player. He's a past CHL.
Oh, yeah, player. Yeah. Okay. So it's not the same because of,
NCAA. NCAA rules really.
I hate the rule when
it's like, so complicated. Yeah.
Even the international rule about Rheinbacher being able to play in Laval if he wanted because he's an international. But if you're from here, you have to be, what is it, 19 or 20 with Joshua Roy?
20 years old. You're
20. I hate that rule. It should be the same for everybody.
Either 20 years old or 4 years in junior.
Yeah, I hate that rule.
That's why they signed Florian. He's 20 years old.
I still hate that rule.
It's weird for me. I think once you have a contract, you have a contract, whether you're 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, no matter where you're coming from, I think it should be the same for every player.
Okay, interesting. Well, the night got a little bit better, but like, and I find this is just beautiful asset management once again about future pieces by Kent Hughes here. This is they know what they're doing. There's no rushing. There's no nothing. They're giving Logan Mailloux a chance to be like, listen, show us what you kept doing in Laval. Show the people of Montreal who you are. When training camp comes around, fucking do everything you can to make this team.
Yep, for sure. Giving him that chance tomorrow, Mailloux, I mean, like we said, I think he's going to play. I think they know he's going to have a real shot at camp, and they're just giving him a bit of a preview before that happens.
I'm ready to piss Chris off right now.
Go ahead. I love this.
On your first power play, you have Mike Matheson staying. On your second wave, you have a pairing of Mailloux and Hudson on the power play.
I think it's going to be reversed. I think swap Hudson, put Matheson on the second wave with Mailloux.
I agree with Chris.
I think that's what's going to happen. I'll bet money. I'll put money on the table right now that's what's going to happen. I absolutely think that they want to see how Hudson can do with Caulfield and Suzuki on the ice and making those passes either to Slav and Caulfield with Nick Suzuki in the bumper spot. I think that's the future of the Montreal Canadiens power play. I think every single fan here in Montreal wants to see that. I think the Montreal Canadiens coaching staff wants to see that. The game counts for nothing. The second that there's going to be a power play, it's going to be Lane Hudson as your number one power play defenseman, quarterbacking everything. Mark my words, put money down. And if it's not that, then it's a question of time.
The fact that he played overtime, which is more responsibility than power play, to me, like I said before, I think it's an indication they'll put him right away on that first wave.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I'm just wondering what I'm trying to think of lineups here that Marty.
What if we don't get a power play tomorrow?
Dude, that cannot
be. That's going to piss me off. That
can't be. Like, then Chris is really going to jump on the ice and go after the ref. Like, have we ever seen that where you don't get a power play for back-to-back games? I don't know. I'm not asking for the Canadiens, but I don't recall any team that hasn't had a power play in back-to-back games.
It's highly unlikely, but if there was a time to happen, like Anthony mentioned earlier, they're getting into playoff mode, so you never know. Calls can be made less.
It would happen now is
the time.
Is Chris Lee reffing tomorrow?
I don't know. If he ref, we lost. We're not going to get a power play at all.
I know. That's it.
You guys think Primo is gonna attend? Then the goal tomorrow. I wouldn't mind giving him the final game of the season at home. I'm just.
I mean, if you're calling up Mailloux, Hudson, just put all the Laval Rocket team on the ice tomorrow.
Yeah, it's too bad Joshua Roy got hurt and he can't play. But that's gonna be interesting, Chris. You're gonna be in for a good one.
Wait.
I have two tickets.
I'm gonna be with work colleagues, like some of my representatives. I don't know how I'm going to handle it professionally. Like, I really don't. I'm just going to be like,
Yeah, I have two tickets sitting and waiting for an answer, yes or no, and I'm debating if I should
buy them. Why? Last game of the season, unless you can't.
I do and I don't. I have tickets available. Not that expensive, too. In the whites, like the last time. I'll see tomorrow how I feel when I wake up in the morning.
He's going. And shut up. You're going. I want to go. I finished work at like 5:15, 5:30. By the time I get there, traffic downtown Montreal is just going to be terrible. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it. I'd go alone. Like, where is she? She's not here. I'd go alone, guys. Like, I've done it before. I went alone to see Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. I could do it again. I don't mind doing it again. Just the timing is just off for me. But it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game.
You know what? This is how much I'm dedicated to watching this game. I'm actually canceling going to my Tuesday night hockey league to watch this final game.
Okay, but Sam, if I have two tickets available, we'll talk after if you want. I can purchase them. Second row whites.
Do it. Fucking do it.
Yeah, Sam, do it. And you guys can fill me in on the live action because I'm in the first two periods.
You put me on the spot during a fucking Curfew Boys episode. Oh, my goodness. A question to the viewers. Will Sam buy these tickets or not? Okay, comment. Do it or... or don't do it. I don't know.
Inside source from knowing Sam for over 20 years, he's going to buy them.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
Chris, you have to let me know how the game is tomorrow.
Joey, why don't you go?
I can never go Tuesdays, and it's a very bad week. I leave Friday night, and it's like awful week.
And it's also the whites. If Leighton Hutson scores tomorrow, we're throwing him off the fucking...
Yeah,
Joey's got PTSD real whites. That's true. That's my fault. Sorry, buddy.
Jokes aside, though, I leave Friday, and like every Tuesday I'm not available. I won't be able to. I do like a fitness class Tuesday, and there's just and I'm leaving Friday, so it's like I have to pack.
There must be a smoke show of a woman in that class because
multiple.
Joe. There we go, Joe. That's it. Don't go to the games. Go to this fitness class you're doing. It's better for you. It's probably better for your mental health as well.
Absolutely.
All right, boys. Yeah, let's wrap this up. But my God, this night just got that much better, and I'm actually super excited to watch this game tomorrow. The final game of the season, the Montreal Canadiens will face the Detroit Red Wings, and obviously the Red Wings fighting for their playoff lives. Canadiens are just trying to demonstrate what the future holds for this team, especially with the call-up of Mayu. Lane Hudson making his debut, and he did not disappoint. I guess that's it, boys.
That's it.
Well, listen, to all our viewers and listeners, thanks for tuning in to the not so final episode of the Curfew Boys podcast, but the end of the season is near. I can't believe this. My God, it
feels like it started yesterday. Cool.
Final game of the season. Where the heck? It felt like yesterday where we were watching Montreal playing Toronto and Slafkovský made a beautiful play to.
But that just to goes to show. That goes to show that no matter how the season played out. Mm-hmm. It was a great season to watch.
We're going
to
get there. We still got another episode.
I know, but I'm just saying it went by so fast because of how good it was. Because the year that it was shit, we were all saying, fucking long season. Hurry up.
Last season was painfully slow, even though we finished bottom five.
The 2021-2022 season was dreadful.
We were dreading it. Like, let's go back and rewind to those episodes. Two seasons, we've been like, oh my God, what a long season. We're saying how great, how fast it was.
We had, so good. We had a little more light in our eyes this season. So, but there's still a lot more to look forward to.
I remember at one point Montreal during that season when they ended last, they had a 7-8 game losing streak that stretch.
We were
coming on the podcast, not every post game, but like, let's say every second. And after they were losing, they lost like 7 in a row. I don't even remember like what we could say anymore. We had no more words. It was just bad. We didn't know what to speak about. It's just like saying, yeah, they were really bad for 7 games in a row, like nearly an entire month. It was crazy.
On that front, I think it's so important. Like Anthony, you were saying it's exciting. Joe, you were saying we had nothing to say back when we really freaking sucked. How many games did we lose by like one goal? We were in it almost every single game, all the way until the end.
Save it.
To say that I think is the biggest reason, and it was a privilege of a season to date. One more to go, and more to come.
There you go.
wrap it up.
Once again, to our viewers and listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Lane Hutson making his Montreal Canadiens debut in the NHL. Once again, this episode is sponsored by Quick Feet. Please, if you like what you see and what you hear on YouTube, like and subscribe. It is free. Tell your friends about us. Share it with your fellow Habs fans, friends out there. All our episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're on Facebook, Twitter, or called X. We're on, Instagram. Lots of content we got for you on Instagram. To my boys, Joey, cousin Chris, Anthony, thank you so much for doing this. Get some rest. Got big decisions to make tomorrow. Anthony, I'll try my best to let you know as soon as possible. But I'll tell you one thing. If you could find somebody else, go for it. Ask whoever you want. I give you the okay. If you find someone, go. Have fun. Chris, enjoy the game tomorrow. Joey, enjoy fitness class.
Thank you.
Have a good night, gentlemen.
Fitness class without the CEO.
Have a good night, gentlemen. Until next time.
Bye now.
Good night.